And we are live in stereo, high definition, whatever the phrases the kids are using these days. Yes, you can see all the pores coming from JVL's forehead.
How great you're getting.
It's, we've upgraded up in this house, y'all. But welcome to another live stream edition of Grapple Gurus. This is your, whenever there's a pay-per-view review team, there is, we are here for Grapple Gurus, your pay-per-view PLE, whatever the calling it these days, review squad, where we pretty much anytime there's a pay-per-view from any of the major wrestling companies, we are here to review it. And tonight is a special one. We are here to review night two of WrestleMania 40. I am joined by the crew that signed up to do this review, which is super fantastic. And I love having them here. This is the last pay-per-view we got to do before the end of WrestleMania Hell Week is officially over. So this is going to be great. But we're going to do introductions really, really quickly. You can find this first host joining us tonight all over the Dynamite and the Ring of Honor and filling in whenever there needs to be stuff filled in for people missing. JVL, John Van Vicious himself. Welcome, my friend. Thank you for being here.
Glad to be here, and that I'm filling different niches and holes that obviously need to be filled at all times is always a good compliment to get. One, signing up is a very light word to be. We're told we had to be here. But two, let's give it up for Mikey, who has literally probably not slept in about a week trying to get all of this stuff done, watching all this stuff, and just keeping everything running. Honestly, we wouldn't be here without him. So get your flowers.
I receive them and it's much appreciated. And
I'll look over here and not talk to you while we're doing it, though.
All righty. Well, let's move on from there. But no, truly, thank you. It's been a crazy week, but I appreciate it nonetheless. Now, let's get through the other introductions. Joining us tonight, also, you can find this lovely individual all over the Ring of Honor reviews as well. He is somewhat new to our acquisition here at BC WrestlePod, but he brings the fire, he brings the flavor, he brings himself, which is fantastic. The Phantom Stranger, willowing in the wisp of the wind. Jesse, I'm so happy to have you here, my friend.
I like that line, willowing in the wisp of the wind. I think that's going to be, maybe I'll put that on my headstone. Oh, let's face it, we can't afford that. It'll just get burned.
It's our new warm-up before the podcast, so it's our tongue twister to get us ready.
I love me some alliteration, so it is a good time for sure.
Willowing in the wisp of the wind.
Yes. And then, of course, finally joining us this evening, this man outside of myself has also been doing all the watch-alongs and all of the reviews, so that he deserves to get his flowers as well for being down with the cause. He is still currently out of the basement, thank goodness. So Mini, a.k.a. The Prodigy, is in the house. My friend, you have been a trooper the last couple of days, so I appreciate you. I love you, and welcome to the final chapter of this whole entire weekend.
I mean, the final boss of this weekend?
Yeah, that was some night one. But no, I'm glad I get to end the WrestleMania reviews with JVL and Jesse over here. It's the first time doing something with Jesse, and then, of course, you know, me and JVL are great friends.
Never the twain shall meet.
It's about to get buck wild and chaotic tonight. But this is the crew that will be doing the night two review tonight. So before we get into WrestleMania night two, I'm surprising JVL and Jesse. Mini knows about this because I've done it twice already. So granted, with all the things that have happened on the internet, especially in the wrestling community space, from all the promotions, moving forward here at BC WrestlePod, we're going to get ahead of all the naysayers and just, you know, just to remind everyone, we do this for fun. But before we begin, as the face that runs the place, kind of, let me do the housekeeping really quick. So, okay, important notice. We're thrilled to invite you to dive into the world of wrestling with us at BC WrestlePod. Your opinions and insights are what make our wrestling community vibrant and diverse. Whether you are a longtime fan or new to the scene, your perspective is valuable. When sharing thoughts or commenting, however, let's remember to keep the conversation respectful and supportive. Wrestling is a passion we all share, and it's in our spirited discussions that we learn and grow together. So let's celebrate our favorite moments, discuss the incredible matches, and maybe even debate the outcomes with kindness and respect. We're good. We're good. Okay.
That's going to pop up about 7 more times tonight.
That's fine. I got the TLDR on it. We're right. You're wrong. Shut up. Got it. Okay.
Is there a reason you waited until I was here to put that out? Like, am I feeling a little targeted now? Which I get it, but, you know.
You are the third crew to get this message. NXT Stand and Deliver crew were the first ones to get this, but I didn't have the nice little graphic yet.
What HR violation did we commit?
It's for me because I was the common denominator for all of them.
Yeah, it's you, man. You're the reason. I don't think
I'm creating a hostile work environment. I can. I'm very good at it, but I don't think you want that.
Well, we're going to save the hostile work environment because we have a lot to discuss for night two.
You're wrong. What?
Yes. So let's get this up here. Oh, it's so pretty.
Why? And they're small now.
Well, I know. I'm claustrophobic. All right.
Eagle Bell.
Let's do this. Alrighty. So we are here once again to review WrestleMania 40 night two. WrestleMania night two, just as night one came all the way to us live from Philadelphia. And of course, just got to mention, this year's theme song for WrestleMania is Gasoline by The Weeknd. Yes, there we go. Get that money, Abel. Not my favorite Weeknd song, but, you know, we used all the good ones for the last 4 years, so there's that. Yeah. But get that money.
It's been a long weekend there.
It really has been. Anyways, so night two opens up with the World Heavyweight Championship match. Drew McIntyre. Taking on Seth freaking Rollins. So the story of how we got to this match is, just like Becky, Drew McIntyre won the Men's Elimination Chamber back in February from, you know, that took place in Perth, Australia, and won the right to face Seth freaking Rollins for the championship at WrestleMania. Now, as far as the rest of this build went, Seth was pulling double duty because we were trying to build this feud up for WrestleMania while he was also dipping his toes into the Cody cinematic universe as well. And unfortunately, also being injured too, which was not the funnest thing. Drew McIntyre kind of ended up taking the backseat a lot of this, but then we got the troll social media Drew there, this whole thing, which has been super fantastic to watch, just being unhinged and ridiculous. And then he was in the same funeral home that the Aces and Eights funeral happened on, you know, another promotion. But Drew has kind of taken a backseat to this whole thing because Seth has been mostly involved with the Cody cinematic universe. But we're here. I want to talk about Seth's entrance, though. That entrance was immaculate. God, it was so good.
I loved having him dressed as a mummer and then all the mummers coming out too. Just especially being in Philadelphia and it being so iconic of that city. And so outlandish and ridiculous of his costume. He seemed tame compared to a lot of the other mummers' costumes, which is saying something for Seth.
Well, and also, Jesse, you called it out on the stream because you were like, you knew what this was. The rest was like, Rosebuds? Maybe? And you're like, no, I live there. This is the mummers. Meanwhile, Drew comes out looking like, you know, he's his old gimmick, the Scottish psychopath, because he had like bike treads on his, you know, on his coat, but still.
But they lost his gear, didn't they?
Yeah, supposedly
he tweeted. Service,
which is so reliable now because we privatized it. I'm not going to go down that road. That's a political view. We'll talk about that later. But anyways, they lost his gear. So he had his gear from the last couple of things. Thank you for that. Yes.
Oh, I have so much power, and I don't know if I should have been given this much power. But anyways, so that's the story. Those are the entrances. Now let's talk about this match. Yeah.
It was a good match. I mean, it started out, it was, as soon as the Matt Irvin finished, bell rang. Claymore.
And
best part, and I'm going to say no. You see, he gets over there. Yeah, I mean, I chip in between.
I know.
I haven't touched food today. I'm starving. He gets over and he's on the barricade next to it. I believe that's his wife right there, his girlfriend. I think it's his wife. He pulls out his phone and he tweets, and I quote, "Bored at work, lol." We get to later and he then comments on this. We're not comment, but he sends another tweet and he quotes his tweet and he goes, simply, fuck.
Yep, that's what happens when you take your eye off the ball, which he did most of this match after he had a stored finisher that didn't work. He spent most of the time jawing with CM Punk, and who was on commentary, and just keeping it on him the entire time instead of actually putting Seth away quickly, which would have saved him some time.
Drew?
Especially a damaged Seth, too. Seth did not come into this at even 60%.
No. But Drew finally got his moment. He won the world championship in front of a crowd.
And it wasn't worth it.
Oh, he did his big celebration.
Well, he wasn't.
He went over and he kissed his wife. Was like, yeah, I did my thing. saw CM Punk, started talking shit, started doing the happy birthday Marilyn Monroe climb on the table to CM Punk. That was weird.
Jesse, you had the best comment about that when Minnie said that on the stream, though.
That wasn't me that said it. Somebody else.
No, that was Steve who said he doesn't have the hair tie.
That's right.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
Moment, but still.
CM Punk is like finally like, you know what? I'm not as short as I look like. And he started beating the crap out of Drew.
With a piece of plastic.
With a piece of plastic. You know what? You know, it's wrestling.
It's hardened plastic. Hey.
Hey, well, at least we learned on night one that wrestlers can climb ladders.
Yep, there you go.
We did learn even that. Broken. But then finally, after almost a damn fucking year, Damian Priest, or as everybody on the internet is calling him, Bisexual Undertaker.
Yep.
I saw Bondage Undertaker, and that made me giggle.
It does that one, too. Cashed in, hits Drew with the South of Heaven, 1-2-3. Damian Priest is the world champion, not Drew McIntyre.
He got his WrestleMania moment, and it was taken from him.
And then...
I love that they were saying online as well, that like the fact that of all the times there have been more beaten down champions everywhere else over the last year, this is the time Damian picks when Drew's been barely beaten up by a still hurt CM Punk with a small piece of plastic. Like,
well, what I read is the cash-in, it was talked about. It was like backstage, or like, by the way, you're cashing in. He's like, what?
Surprise!
Like, they talked about it like moments before it happened.
Could you imagine if like that happened to you in any other? Well, I mean, it feels like that when you go to work and your boss is like, "Oh, by the way, you're doing this now." So I think it's the only time anyone's been excited by their boss doing that to them.
And the reverse is that might be why Drew, when he was in the ring getting the title, that he was so happy for a second. And then the referee's telling him as he's handing to him, "You're gonna lose this. Go talk to Punk and do all your stuff." But Damian's coming out to take it from you.
Yeah.
I mean, though, he probably was expecting it, though.
He's super thrilled when he won. It seemed like he was being very reserved for a reason, like it was so bittersweet, and it makes sense. Cause I feel like he had known ahead of time.
I think he did. And spoiler alert, because we're recording this after the Raw, after WrestleMania, because then Punk kept getting in the way, so because there was a fatal four-way to determine the first challenger for Damian's title. Drew had the match won until there was interference by 1CM Punk, which allowed Mr. Yeet main event Jey Uso to pick up the win. Yeet. So Jey Uso is going to be challenging Damian, whether that's going to be a backlash or what, but Jey gets first crack at that title. And Drew was not happy, and he cut a promo in the middle of the match too, which was hilarious. I love Drew. I'm so happy he decided
to love resign. Heel Drew.
Oh,
we've definitely missed it.
So now the question becomes, do we get Broken Dreams at some point in this heel run?
Or Broken Drew?
I want the silly, sloppy, silly, sweaty spaghetti silly locks covering his face when he comes out again.
Silly spaghetti. Oh my goodness. I did love the moment that when Seth, you know, rolled out of the ring and headed up the ramp before the cash in, we saw him mouthing, "You effing deserve it." I was just like,
right, and I do like now we have a CM Punk meme when Damian's coming out. He just stopped top and he turned. Like, huh?
Oh? I mean, this match is what I knew that Drew was going to win, and I had an inkling that Damian was going to cash in because we're almost, yeah, so I still thought this was a fun opener for sure. This was fantastic. I had a good time. So
do we think they put Drew in the Money in the Bank ladder match and have Punk screw him over there?
Is Punk back by then?
Maybe. Well, I think it would be interesting because if his recovery is going along quickly, as we are to allege to believe, I wouldn't be surprised if something happens at Money in the Bank, which then sets up a match or SummerSlam between the two of them.
He had a pretty good range of motion on Raw because he was doing the Jey Uso.
Yeah, so, I mean, time will tell, but we're definitely setting up Drew at CM Punk, and I think if it doesn't happen within the next two pay-per-views, I can see it happening at SummerSlam if Punk is cleared to go back then. But, oh yeah, Punk and Drew are going to be colliding sometime in the summer, which is going to be fantastic. I'm excited for it. It's going to be a mess, but it's going to be
Hunk. DM Hunk.
It's going to be a mess, but I can't.
Shirt.
No. So fantastic.
I also love that, like, during this entire evening, the Philadelphia crowd was also on point with their signs yet again. Like, we had
some good ones
out there. Hitchbot was a Cowboys fan. Gotta love it.
Oh, my goodness.
What was the Black Adam was bad sign that was during the pre-show?
Yep, that was during the pre-show.
It was so good. this was a fun opener, and we move on from this to head to our second match of the evening, which had no right to be as entertaining as it was for me.
And Snoop Dogg added so much to this match.
God, can we keep Snoop Dogg on commentary forever? Yes. That's fantastic.
You know, what I want to say, I wish they could do it in the same company, is have Timeless Tony Storm and Snoop on commentary.
Oh my gosh. I don't think anybody...
I feel like you're not paying attention to the match.
So good. But we had a Philadelphia Street Fight. It was a 6-man tag Philadelphia Street Fight between the Pride, which is Bobby Lashley, and the Street Profits, taking on the Final Testament, which is Karrion Kross and the Authors of Pain. You know, Minnie knows my pain here, but we got to talk about it for SmackDown, because the way that we built the story has been absolute trash. Because, you know, Final Testament has been hounding the Pride, and for the last, 2.5-3 months, Minnie, the Final Testament has kind of just been beating up the Pride every single chance they get.
It's like anytime the Pride's on the screen, they're getting their ass kicked.
By the Final Testament.
So I do have to ask, Jesse, as the resident Philadelphian, what made this a Philadelphia street fight?
That it was in Philadelphia? I don't know. Nobody got... how far are we in? Nobody got shot in broad daylight, so...
Holy shit! At
one point, I called this the police brutality match, and then... JVL gave me a load of shit because I don't like fun, because this match didn't really do it for me. It could have been better. I guess I really don't like fun, but it could have been better.
I was still waiting for B-Fab to attack Paul Ellering at some point. It never happened. I was very sad.
Well, yo, at least but her and Scarlett though through that table.
They had a table spot.
She should not have been wrestling in those heels. I'm sorry.
Those monstrous heels.
Step on me. What?
I don't know, man. Ankles. I'm surprised she got as much rotation going into the table as she did.
I don't know how she walked down the ramp in those things.
Very carefully. Crazy.
So
you could have had the golf cart. Like,
Montez Ford with the kendo stick is going absolutely
ham. Oh my gosh!
When the first table broke.
Yep.
And what was it, Bob? Immediately, as soon as the match started, too, AOP just wailing with the kendo sticks as well. I was like, well, dang. I was like, hold on, boys. We just got started. Like,
That's where Jesse said it looked like a police brutality match.
Jeez Louise. They got the riot gear on and everything. But
exactly. I was like, this is not a great visual that they're going to want to remember.
We had
Bubba Ray Dudley.
Yeah. We got to address the elephant in the room. So this match, for some reason, had a special guest referee in Bubba Ray Dudley. And as soon as that music hit and everyone was looking at who our special guest referee was, I wish I could show you the faces we all made. Specifically, me and Andrew are just sitting there just like, why? We just got rid of you in TNA. Why?
Because it's Philadelphia.
I was like, get D-Von. I at least would be fine with D-Von.
Get the Sandman.
Oh my gosh.
I would say get Sabu, but he did no-show the Indy Hall of Fame, so no.
Yeah,
Sabu can stay as far away from anything, because last time he was involved in a Extreme Rules type of stipulation, it was whack. I'm still looking at you, Double or Nothing 2023.
It was Philadelphia.
Cole and Jericho.
W adjacent they were pulling for. Get the Sandman, get RVD, get Raven, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
Tommy Dreamer.
I mean, that would also...
He would have been better than Bubba Ray. No,
Mikey Whipwreck.
Yes.
No, seriously, like that would have been your guy. That or Spike Dudley.
Spike would have taken a bump then, and it would have been a really hard ref bump.
He wouldn't, though, now, because he's a real estate agent. He has not taken any other bumps at this point.
Oh, my goodness. So, I'm the antithesis of Jesse. I thought this was more entertaining than I thought it was going to be, because I didn't like the build that we had on SmackDown. As somebody who reviews SmackDown, the build for this was garbage, but this was a lot of fun, and Bobby Lashley finally got a win after getting his butt whooped for the last couple of months, and at least he was on this WrestleMania, because last year I had no idea why he wasn't. So ridiculous. I don't want to talk
about it. He was for about 4 seconds, because he came out, did his entrance, waved, and went back inside.
So I was so mad. This was fun. Karrion Kross got his butt whooped, as you should. But now we'll see what's next for both of these factions, because hopefully we're done. Maybe not. I was entertained. I enjoyed this than what most people would. And I thought this was a lot better than I anticipated, honestly. I had fun. That was the key word here. I had fun.
Yep.
What's that?
Jesse, fun is you know, F is for friends who do stuff together. U is for you and me. N is for anywhere and anytime and all. It's an acronym.
That's nonsense. But N is for no survivors.
That is very true.
You're running bombs.
Fuck!
Sorry. Well, we're 30 minutes in, so we should be okay. So we move on from...
Mini drop one at 11 minutes.
I drop a lot of fucks.
Because he does not give.
I am all out.
As a person who doesn't watch the product regularly for WWE, you know, having the build kind of summed up in that video package, seeing what would happen on, and having my previous, you know, knowledge of these wrestlers, that's why for me, like, it was entertaining, question mark. It felt forced in a lot of ways. And I can see why from you telling me, like, how that's the build went, that it just didn't seem like there was much logic behind it. This was like, we need to fill a spot on the card to get these guys in the card and have a big meaty man match. And all it really was, you know, police brutality followed by Karrion Kross getting his ass kicked as per usual, and then Bobby Lashley winning. Like, this could have been a match on SmackDown and would have been fine.
You know, the best part, one of the best parts of this match was them putting Karrion Kross on the table too hard and it breaks before they actually put him through the table.
Again, could have been a SmackDown match.
Right. That was like the perfect, yes, this match was entertaining, but like that was the perfect summary of this match.
Yeah. And, you know, to echo what some of the matches we talked about last night for night one, too, this was entertaining, but this could have been a SmackDown match. Like, this could have been on SmackDown.
So you're saying this match was entertaining, but it wasn't necessarily good?
I mean, it's a street fight. Like, WWE street fights, are there any that are actually good?
So you're saying this wasn't a good match?
This was a...
But you don't like fun either, John.
I never said I did. You're the one that comes out against fun openly. I just leave it behind and try to be a nice to folks.
No, you just tell me I don't like fun. But I'm not alone here for this match.
Well, speaking of leaving things behind, we're going to leave this match behind. Pride finally get a win after a couple of months. So we move on to our next match. Okay.
Jesus Christ. He even takes up more of the screen than LA Knight. He's so damn, like, juiced up.
Lord, look at these. Look at these musculos. But anyways, so this, our third match of night two was LA Knight versus AJ Styles. This is the best story that has the theme of pettiness be the driving force for this whole thing. The way we got to this match is, again, everything kind of transpired at Elimination Chamber for a bunch of these matches. But LA Knight was in the Elimination Chamber. And because LA Knight kind of somewhat cost AJ a spot in the Elimination Chamber, AJ Styles was sitting at home earlier in the week and decided, you know what? I'm not over that clown, you know, getting me out of the Elimination Chamber. So this man had a lot of hatred in his heart because he decided to fly 30 hours to Perth, Australia, take a steel chair and hit LA Knight with it in order for a Knight to get eliminated a couple seconds later. And this is a feud has been built on pettiness. LA Knight wants to get a lick back. So for the last couple of weeks, this man was looking for him backstage at multiple SmackDowns. He beat up a television after watching AJ cut a promo. And then it culminated in the fact that LA Knight went to this man's house.
He went full Stone Cold to Brian Pillman's house.
I love the home invasion angle.
He did Triple H with Randy Orton.
That's, oh my gosh.
Well, that was the first time I noticed how juiced up AJ Styles has become. Like,
in the beginning of that police thing, just whoo.
All shoulders, no neck. Is he trying to make more room for more kids' names in his tattoo on his right side? Because he's
I don't know, man. Like, that whole thing was wild. It's like, wow, AJ got swole. I don't know what happened.
He's retiring soon. He said it. He goes, I'm retiring soon. He's like, I'm just going to get really big, then retire.
Sure. Why not? But pettiness is the theme. So this is where I was really disappointed. I'm like, LA Knight, it's WrestleMania. You're really just going to come out in the vet? Really? Okay, fine. Whatever, I guess. Did someone forget the budget?
Maybe he was in the same package with Drew's stuff.
Yeah, where it got lost along the way. I was like, wow, mail, you UPS, you failed today. You I'm failed serious. That.
So I'd like to see the reverse one of these times, because I know that happened to Rhea Ripley about a year ago or so, and she had to wind up wearing Damian Priest's stuff. So I want to see it where, like, their stuff gets missing and then they have to wear Rhea Ripley's stuff. I think that would be hilarious to watch them wrestle in that.
I think it would be funny, too, be like, yo, Bianca, you got extra stuff we can wear?
Something up quick.
Yo, honestly, because a lot of the girls can sew really quickly. Bianca makes all of her own gear. She's like, all right, I got a sewing machine. Let's do this really quickly.
I'm sorry, I'm staring at this photo still some more, and I'm like, yeah, he's definitely juicing, because look, his brow has gone full Cro-Magnon. Like, he's,
oh my God.
Full on. Just like, dude, you're not your AJ Style instead of AJ Styles.
It's only singular now.
Him and Von Wagner should be a tag team, but that's for a different review. But
I will say, the first thing I noticed on this poster was LA Knight had a really good shape up, whoever did his beard for him.
Exactly, yeah.
Take notes, Lexus King.
Brian Pillman Jr.
The match was good.
Yeah.
It actually wasn't bad. It was a pretty good match, you're right. But I'm still like, I'm sorry. This is just throwing me. I hadn't seen this sort of this way. I'm like, God dang.
You know what disappointed me about this match, besides the fact I don't like fun? After all that buildup that they had, this could have had a stipulation on it, and it would have been better.
Could it have been a Philadelphia street fight?
This probably would have done better as a street fight.
Especially because AJ won't take a lot of those bumps because of his age now.
Yeah, that's fair.
He still would have done some stuff for it, though. I think it would have been fun. Maybe even an I Quit match or something like that, just because of the home invasion angle would have been great. Having some other reason than just I'm going to fight in a singles match, because we got that later on in another sort of no DQ match, which was like 20 minutes of this is a singles match. Where's the bloodline?
Oh, yeah, we'll get there. Or a cage match and break the cage mask curse at WrestleMania.
There you go.
Well, I mean, he did rip up the protective cushions that are in between the ring and the floor and try to do something with that. Then he took a bump.
Yeah, remember, because he went onto the plastic before that's on top of the link field.
Wouldn't be funny if they went like right on the turf and it was like the 50-yard line and you could kind of see where it was.
We don't need more people's knees to be blown out. I'm sorry. We just don't need that happening by touching turf.
Oh, well, they finally found the Slim Jim car too, and they gave that away finally.
That was so awkward.
That woman looked so confused.
That was so awkward.
That was the face of, why am I here?
I won what?
GTR.
At least, though, that sponsorship made sense in this match versus, like, dude wipes everywhere, but still.
Oof. But, you know, I actually really enjoyed this match. You know, this was definitely LA Knight's big moment. He got a big win at WrestleMania. Here's hoping that this continues to be the momentum for Mr. LA Knight, you know, over on SmackDown. I would love for him to have a title match at SummerSlam.
Yes.
Yes, but which title at this point? Like, do you take
US?
Sammy? Do you
US, just title, duh. Clearly.
No, that couldn't happen because Ricochet is going to win that and he's on Raw. Well, oh. So let me break this news, too, because since, you know, it happened on Monday Night Raw, guess what's coming back in a couple of weeks, you guys? The draft.
Oh, sorry, the draft. Sorry.
So the draft is happening.
Wheatley Vodka.
It's like Cody's bus caught fire.
Jeez Louise. But the draft is happening, so who knows where everyone's going to end up as well. LA Knight might stay on SmackDown. He might go to Raw. Who knows at this point, but
give him the US title, have him develop that as a working man's title on another part of this brand, as they've done with the Intercontinental title. Give the mid-card title some more credibility. And this is how you go to not have it with some YouTuber who I don't like, so I'm not going to go too much further into it, but give it to somebody who's already over, who is with the people and who they want. They want him to have some kind of title and have him actually defend it.
Well,
and wear clothes while he has it too.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, you know.
Yeah. That,
yeah. Well, Jesse, you did bring up a certain, you know, YouTuber. So I'm glad you brought that up.
Oh, you conquered him.
So let's talk about it. So this was a triple threat for the United States.
You might need to put up the disclaimer again.
Yeah, hold up. All right.
Randy looks like he's letting off a pretty good fart in that picture.
He's just smirking. But anyway, so
okay, I'm glad because I started talking shit about the pictures on the first one and nobody else was. So I'm glad other people are doing it now.
Yeah, people who have taste.
Wow. Okay. Well, all right.
I'm sorry. There's a piece of paper in front of me. I put it up on the screen so I wouldn't have to see that face.
All right. Well, we do need to talk about this. So there was a triple threat for the United States Championship. Champion Logan Paul defending his title.
I don't like hearing it.
Sorry. Well,
too bad. Logan Paul, your United States champion, defending his title against Kevin Owens and Randy Orton. Logan Paul made his entrance with the big old fire truck, and I was just like,
it was a six-wheel dually with a big ass bottle of Prime that it looked like he was like
riding a Sibian. He was riding a Sibian.
Yeah, it was weird.
It was weird. He was accompanied by the Prime Bottle. He makes his way down to the ring. And then we get Kevin Owens' entrance because he wants to one-up Logan Paul. He gets a golf cart. Well, he walks down the ramp a little bit. Then he goes back. Then he hops in the golf cart with KO duct taped on that thing. Yep. Which is fantastic. He rides all the way down to the ring. Then Randy Orton's music hits. And then Kevin Owens got the brilliant idea. And he reversed that back all the way up. And
backed that up like a pro getting it back.
It was crazy.
It was impressive.
It was super fantastic.
They did the same thing they did the day before with Sammy, with KO.
That's right.
Coming, followed him up. He said, "It's your turn. Do your thing." And they followed him out. But this time, the person lost.
Which we'll get into in a little bit. But Randy Orton looked at Kevin Owens and was like, "Are we really doing this?" And KO's like, "Get on." And so Randy got on. And someone made the amazing meme. It's just like, "Yo, the new DLC pack for Mario Kart Double Dash looks kind of tight." And it's just a picture of Kevin Owens with Randy Orton on the back of the golf cart. Yo, if they make a WWE version of Mario Kart Double Dash, I actually might buy it.
I told John this was Crush Hour 2.
Exactly. That's
so everyone made their entrances in. The bell rings. Let's talk about the match because now, just really quickly.
This was Logan Paul getting his ass kicked for the first like 12 minutes.
Which was so fun to watch.
Which when that happened, I think Mikey said it on the stream. We all know, okay, that means he's retaining.
Yep. That's what I said, because he's getting his butt
I was giving you credit on that. You were like, this bad news, everyone.
He's going to win.
Bad news, everyone.
Yeah. All right, so I'm going to put this up here, not for the audience, but for Jesse. But
hey, Jess, I appreciate it.
No, I put it up there not because of what you're going to say, but we're going to fight because I actually really didn't like this match. I really did. It was fun.
Let me make sure that I'm being 100% clear. Fuck you. No, I really like this match.
Just saying, hey, Jesse, guess what?
What?
Oh, damn!
Get you home then. All right, I'm going to bed. Good night, everyone.
You're back. Hi, sorry. I do have too much power.
See the inherent corruption in the system?
Maybe.
I feel like that's a hostile work
environment. No, but in all seriousness, Jesse, I like this match, so what do you have to say about it?
I liked the match. I didn't like the outcome. Mm. My frustration lies in the same frustrations I have with the other program that I review, is the title is never there. The reason he's got so long of a reign is because he doesn't defend it. He's not there. He's off doing his other interests, which is great for him, but why does he have a title? This is the same issue we had with Bork Laser so many years, with Goldberg so many years. Why are we putting a title on a part-timer and a very part-timer at that point? What was so wrong with giving us the feel-good moment of KO and Sammy both winning titles at WrestleMania?
Well, okay, pause. Hang on now, so let me fill in the missing details. Because this has been a SmackDown story, and for the most part, Logan is technically a part-time champion, but I will say that this actually had more of a build than Gunther and Sammy did, because that was only a two-week build. This has been building for over a month now, so this is how it goes. Because technically, this feud started at the very end of what happened at Royal Rumble when Kevin Owens went to try to get the title off of Logan Paul in that championship match. Got caught with the brass knucks. And then Kevin Owens and Logan Paul have been kind of beefing a little bit. A-Town Down Under got involved, pretty deadly got involved at some point. And so Randy Orton is just like, hey, I want that title. And so Logan, KO, and it's been mostly two-on-one. Randy and Kevin Owens have been working through tag team matches. Logan has been inserting himself in a lot of this. And all three of these people have been fighting, you know, two on one for a couple weeks now. And it culminated with Nick Aldis, because Logan said he wants another challenger because he doesn't want to keep fighting KO. And so Nick Aldis decided, you know what? I have a great idea. You are going to get a match at WrestleMania. It's going to be against Randy Orton and Kevin Owens. So good luck with that. And so they've been constantly fighting the whole entire time getting into this feud.
Again, issue is not the build, nor the match itself. I thought the match was very well done. It's the result that I don't like.
You're right. But can we stop with the goddamn random YouTuber in the Prime Bottle spot?
Oh my gosh, I'm so done with that spot, man. We did it twice already.
Somebody that was on like Kevin or Randy's side. I was really hoping they'd swerve us this year, and they didn't.
That would have been awesome. And two, can I get a KO and Randy Orton tag team and call him RKO. It writes its fucking self.
Also, can we ask why Randy Orton, who really isn't a good guy, even when he's a good guy in wrestling, decided not to use the Nux when he had them?
Right?
True. Like, at least Randy, he went to, almost went for a punt kick.
That's true. Yeah. He should have hit it. That'd be great.
I'll reserve my comment on that one.
If Logan wants to keep, you know, being a wrestler, he needs to get his nose broken at some point so he can't use his pretty face to fleece people of all their money in his crypto schemes, allegedly.
So you're gonna need that disclaimer again, Mikey.
More Triceratops heads for his house in Puerto Rico.
Allegedly.
No, right, he has the Triceratops house.
I know he does.
Now, as far as the match goes, again, I enjoyed it. I really wanted to see a punt kick really badly, but as soon as we got that 2-on-1 for the first half of this match, I'm like, oh yeah, Logan's retaining, because that's how this normally goes. Eventually, KO and Randy turn on each other, kind of, but not really.
They talked about it. They're like, Randy went for the RKO. Kevin was like, really? He's like, I have to. It's like, all right, so we're going to fight now? He's like, yeah, we're going to fight. And they started fighting.
All right, cool. And they're like, all right, we'll be cool after this, but we got to fight. And so they start punching each other.
I'm now just saying this since Randy came back. What's with the random tattoo he has, like, just under him? That one just lying. Like, what is that?
You know what? I have to investigate that. I'm going to investigate it a little bit later. But
I did love a lot of the RKO spots out of nowhere, though. They were actually really good in this match.
Randy just keeps one-upping himself. It's just like, when you think he's done it all, nope, he shows. It's like, well, dang, he just pulled that out of nowhere. I mean, look. It's
the best finisher in professional wrestling.
Wow. Statement there. Interesting.
Okay, it is, though, because, like, if somebody who doesn't know wrestling, you say RKO, they know what it is.
I mean, that's fair. It's kind of permeated the pop culture. So-called
stunner, more than the rock bottom, more than the people's elbow.
No, the people know what because the RKO became a meme.
That's so fair.
The Stone Cold Stunner became a meme for the wrestling community. The RKO became a meme outside the wrestling community.
That is for a different podcast. We got to stick to the match.
Hey, Mikey, I've got a topic for the next podcast. I just completely thought of it myself, unrelated to anything we're talking about.
We'll talk about it afterwards, because I think that's what we're going to use for our April episode. Stay tuned for that. But Jesse, anyways,
that's really smart of you to come up with that on your own. That's awesome.
I know. I'm just brilliant over here.
Dude, he's already pulled his weight. He just got here. Just doing some good work.
You know what? Jesse was the sole survivor, and he's the only one that showed up for the fashion episode, so he gets extra points with me.
Well, he is a high fashion plate.
It was a fun episode. It was great. But Logan Paul retains by pinning Kevin Owens, but not Randy Orton. So I don't think we're done with Randy and Logan quite yet. And you know it's not going to be done, but I will be okay with this if this ends up being Randy taking that title off of Logan Paul at some point.
Has Randy ever held the U.S. title?
I think he has, but not like in recent memory. I can't tell
you. I'm going to look this up while we're on here.
Okay. My fact checker, JVL, John Van Vicious, is going to be checking that. But ultimately, I had a fun time with this match. Logan is still your United States champion, and he's going to be holding on to that thing until who knows when.
2018, he beat Bobby Lashley for it.
Randy Bobby Roode. Orton hold title, yes? Sorry, I'm just typing into Google.
But I think KO is done with the United States championship for a bit. I don't know what that leads for Mr. Kevin Owens, but I think Randy and Logan are still going to do stuff. But honestly, I'm here for the idea of KO and Randy deciding to run through the tag team division, especially since we have a certain tag team who might be coming to SmackDown. I want them to stay together. I want Randy and KO to fight the Wolf Dogs.
Is it the Creeds? It's the Creeds.
Or, well, it depends on where they land, because the Creeds are on Raw, but who knows after the draft. All right, so now let's leave the United States Championship behind, and let's get into, surprisingly, one of my feel-good moments of the evening. Your semi-main event for the WWE Women's Championship. Challenger Bayley taking on champion Io Sky. The story of how we got here is Bayley won the 2024 Royal Rumble, and she won it without the help of Damage Control, because they got eliminated before she had a chance to finish and win. And Damage Control was talking a lot of smack about Bayley in Japanese, and then Bayley cut the coldest moment that I have seen in her recent run since returning from injury. She brought out that Duolingo Japanese, because she told Io and the rest of Damage Control that I understood what you've been saying to me about me this whole entire time, and you've been talking a lot of smack, and I'm not here for it. So then they jump Bayley, they kick her out of the group, Dakota Kai gets involved and is like wavering, is on the fence, betrays Bayley, and Dakota takes over damage control. And Bayley has been fighting Io for the last couple of weeks. She jumped this poor woman while she was doing a pre-tape promo. There was some stuff where a green screen got ripped, a light bulb went through Io's face, there was a chair that got thrown. It was crazy. And so Io has been, and Bayley have been going back and forth this whole entire time, which has culminated in this match since Bayley chose Io to face after winning the Royal Rumble. This was my feel-good moment of the evening. Bayley finally got her first ever singles match at a WrestleMania, which has been nuts to think about because all the other four horsewomen got a singles match before she did.
Damn, and I feel really that your first singles match in WrestleMania?
It is.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, because at any time Bayley has been at WrestleMania prior to this, it's been a tag team or a triple threat or a fatal four-way, but never a singles match at WrestleMania for the title.
Good for Bayley.
Yeah, she was never the highlight, and which is even funnier that they didn't build her before this. They had so much time to hype this matchup, and you know what? They wrestled it like it was a hyped match. This was a really good semi-main, and I was sad that it didn't get the build it deserved, but Pamela got her title. I'm happy for her.
Here's part of the thing that I saw with the press conference post Mania is Triple H saying that like all the women came up and he said it was the loudest they've ever heard the women's locker room when Bayley got back in Gorilla, so everybody was super super happy for her.
I believe it.
I really liked this match. I thought it was incredibly well done. Whoever produced it, I was very happy to see Bayley win. That was the right call in this situation here. My only critique, because I don't like fun, is I'm really surprised that nobody from Damage Control really got involved in the match. They came out during Io's entrance, and then they didn't do anything else.
Dissension in the ranks?
Well, who knows? Because we still have a SmackDown this upcoming Friday to see what the fallout's going to be with Damage Control losing against Black Girl Magic and then Io losing to Bayley. I mean, who knows what direction's going to lead? I think I'm in the minority when I say this, but I miss Bayley doing the rose plant because I haven't seen her do it in a hot second. And I kind of want that to be her secondary finisher because that thing is beautiful to look, especially if you have a person who could sell it very well.
I agree, but I'm going to add to that. I think it should be a secondary finisher. I think the belly should be a third finisher. I think Bayley needs a new finisher. The rose plant, while it has a great look, it takes too long to set up.
Mm.
And the belly to belly, while fun for the alliteration, is basically a signature at this point.
Yeah,
yeah, it's about as effective as the Blue Thunderbomb anymore.
But this is the other part that the moment of this match that will stick with me forever, though, is Io Sky getting ticked off and doing successively higher moonsaults as she goes.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah,
like, that is a great, great way to do it. It sold really well.
Also, Io Sky's reversal of the first rose plant.
The reversal of the first rose plant was so good.
So cool.
Io is such a professional. I love her so much. Like, both of these women killed it. And
also, Io is super loud.
Yes. Yes.
I love it. You can Japanese hear wrestling. More and more frustrated she gets. She kept getting louder and louder and louder.
I also love that Io did like what we saw at Supercard of Honor with the Stardom Six Woman Showcase, where she every time when there was time to breathe during transition moves for setups and stuff like that, Io, even though she was heel, she would get the crowd to get involved and cheer. I was like, that is so Joshi wrestling. I love it so much. Go ahead.
It was a great setup to go into the next match. It was definitely the refresher we needed after kind of a couple mid matches that came through.
I have to say, like, I don't know what happened between night one and night two. I don't know if it was production or whatnot, but the crowd was on fire more so for night two than they were for night one, which was kind of crazy to watch.
They were keeping the party going from the night before. They were still drinking everything they could there.
Everything.
So Bayley is our new WWE Women's Champion. I'm excited to see who gets first crack at it. I think she
crack at it. Okay, good.
What did you hear?
She deserved it.
Something different.
Oh, not at it. At it. Okay.
Yes, at it.
Anyways, all right. Strap in, boys, because this is probably where some discourse is going to happen.
In, not on. Okay.
Yes, in.
Main event time.
This is terrible.
That's WrestleMania 9 level main event terrible.
Okay, let me do the setup, and then we can all argue amongst ourselves. This is our main event for WrestleMania 40 Night 2. This is Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes Round 2. This is the rematch that we're getting from WrestleMania 39. This has been a very, very, very long story that we've been telling with lots of twists and turns. To summarize everything that has happened, Cody won the 2024 Rumble. We all figured he was going to pick Roman. Him and Roman had a face-off where he says that I'm going to face you, but not quite yet, which then got The Rock to return. The internet was on fire for a couple of days because everyone was not liking the prospect of Roman and Rock fighting one-on-one after you built this thing with Cody. And so
they did that 2 years too late. Anyway.
And then WWE realized that, oh, the fans are actually upset. So let's try to salvage this as best as we can. The Rock stayed involved in the story. We got the tag team match on night one. Seth found his way into the storyline somehow. You know, because Cody and Seth lost on night one, this was going to be a bloodline rules match where anything goes. These two had some really fun entrances. Miss Brandi Rhodes made an appearance for Cody's entrance, which was beautiful. I was happy to watch. Yes, who told you it was open mic night? I love that promo. I don't care what nobody says, but it was so nice to see her. And then we saw Mama Rhodes, and then like Negative One was in the audience too. Mm-hmm. And then we saw pictures of Dustin Rhodes and Ricky Starks and a bunch of other folks from another promotion there to support Cody. Allegedly. Yes, Keith Lee. Allegedly, the Bucks were also there. Like, this was a big moment for everyone. And that is the story. The bell rang. We got an 18-minute match, 20-minute match, somewhere between that.
After 16 minutes of intros.
Yeah, it was a lot shorter than the entrances for night one, but even still, this is a long time.
I'm just so stunned that Cody's entrance took longer than Roman's.
That is true. Because we had also, the whole mask and everything.
That mask that was made by the same person that made the Fiend's mask.
For Cody, yeah.
Jason Baker?
Yeah. Yep.
That's awesome.
I love the entrances. I was super pumped for this. Spoiler alert, I'm happy with the ending we got, but if I'm going to be completely honest here, put this up real quick. All right. I was, you know, this was a very tame Bloodline Rules match. I was very surprised.
Tame.
Yeah, it was very, very tame. And like the interferences really didn't do much to add to the struggles that Cody had to get through to win this match.
Some of them took too long to come out.
So,
yeah,
I still enjoyed it. But yeah,
put out there today that was like, it's the Starship Troopers meme. So it's like, I'm doing my part. I'm doing my part. I ain't done shit. Mm-hmm. And that was Seth Rollins because obviously he just got bashed with a chair. So.
Well, okay, so there's beautifulness to that, and I'll get to that. I, like I said last night, like I said yesterday, when it comes to night one, this to me was great. It ended everything. I mean, this granted, it should have ended last year, but they ended up. I understand why they wanted to end it at WrestleMania 40. It, in my opinion, one of the best stories that we've seen in modern day wrestling
in the modern era. Even before
Attitude Era and stuff like that. This is one of the best stories we've had in wrestling in like ever, right? This story has survived the Thunderdome. It has survived Mr. We don't name that person anymore.
Vincenzo Macaroni.
He somehow didn't kill it. It has survived everything that it needed to survive, and it came in and it ended beautifully. The only thing they missed up is they couldn't get Stone Cold, so they got The Undertaker, which was fine.
I'm not going to complain about that.
Nobody will. It's completely fine. They got Taker to do it.
He got his revenge for being almost made to do a spin-a-rooney. It was great.
Yeah. I watch that every once in a while. It's so funny. It ended every... I wish there would have been a little bit more when it comes to the extremeness of the match of blood, like anything goes. But, you know, Cody tried pulling out a table and Roman put it away.
That was such a turd move. I was here for it.
right there.
But that's also a really big heel move because Roman knew that we wanted to see this stuff. He's like, nah, screw you guys.
The head of the table didn't even want a table. But the only thing rules match, I was expecting at least a table.
There was no Rikishi involved in any of this, which sucked. We've wanted Rikishi for this entire storyline. But this, keep in mind, this story's been going on since August of 2020.
And I will say that moment where the Usos almost missed the table was scary.
That
as
was
hell.
Scary.
I didn't even know the tables were down there until they went through it.
If they did, they couldn't see them because they
almost did not make
that,
those
that
tables.
Bit with Jimmy and Jay and them spearing each other off into the tables was better than their entire match yet. The
yep.
Before.
Yep.
Yes, it
so
was.
Let's break down this finishing sequence. So the match has been going for a little bit. So Jimmy comes in, super kicks Cody. Jay comes out. The two fight on the ramp. Jay spears Jimmy off of the ramp into some tables. That incapacitates them. We go for a couple more minutes, and then the enforcer, Solo Sikoa, comes out and tries to help Roman win.
Forever.
Oh my gosh, bro. So we got Samoan spikes. We got double team moves. Cody's still not out. So who's going to come out to take care of Solo Sikoa? But the one man that he beat at a certain pay-per-view we did not cover for reasons, but Mr. You Can't See Me, John Cena, comes out in his jorts and his really bad bald spot. That bald spot was bad. That bald spot was bad, you guys. But he comes out, he takes care of Solo Sikoa, puts him through a table, the announcer table. The Rock's music hits, The Rock comes out. You know, we were talking prior to the moment leading up that John Cena wasn't going to take any spots, and then he took a bump.
He took a rock bottom, and then he's in a match on, he was wrestling on Raw.
And then he was wrestling on Raw with R-Truth and Miz on Monday Night Raw.
I think that was a make-a-wish thing because he finally got to wrestle, R-Truth got to wrestle with his childhood hero, John Cena.
It was a make-a-wish for little Jimmy.
Yeah. Little Jimmy.
Can we have a sidebar about John Cena and Make-A-Wish for a second? Because he's fulfilled the most wishes out of anybody in the Make-A-Wish Foundation, which is fantastic and great and wonderful. But if you look at it a certain way, that kind of makes him the angel of death.
Because you can't see him?
No, because he's, you know,
he's like the last.
He gets all the terminally ill patients.
Yeah. All right. It's back to the match.
So, yeah.
Cena gets rock bottomed.
Cena gets rock bottomed. Then
Taker comes out.
Yeah, well, Rock is about to hit Cody.
Oh, he's about to hit him with the belt.
Right, and then the most ineffective running happens because Seth Rollins appears after the Shield.
The Shield. Okay, you gotta admit, I think all of us thought that Jon Moxley was coming back out.
I did not think that.
Half a second. Everybody thought. I mean, we all like, wait, is
I'll give you about 5% of me thought that. I was like, okay, this would
That would have been really cool. But I want to like put it out there. Seth said that he was going to be Cody's Shield, right? Came out with the Shield stuff. And then when it got to the point when him and Seth were getting up, all the PTSD of the Shield being broken up by Seth Rollins hit Roman in the face, and he decided to hit Seth with the chair, which cost him the match. Really bad run-in. He got wrecked right off rip. Beautifully written, though.
Everything that was set up. It wasn't a bad run-in. It was effective.
It did exactly what he needed to do. Seth got his ass kicked, but it worked. This is why I think Seth, in my opinion, Seth was the MVP of both nights of WrestleMania.
He definitely worked his ass off for all of it because he had almost basically three matches.
And he's the best seller in wrestling history, or he legitimately was fucked up because people had to carry him.
I think he's actually injured.
Oh, he's very injured.
Yeah, he has like five spots on his body that need surgery.
But he gets knocked out. Lights. You hear the gong hit. The lights go out, and we get Taker as Biker Taker.
Yeah, I don't think he wants to put all that makeup and shit anymore. I don't think he wants to.
He doesn't. Nor does he have to. But you know, he's there. He goozles Rock, tries his best to chokeslam Rock, but Rock obviously weighs a lot more than he's juiced up so hard. So it's like obviously it was just a bit of a hard jump, but good chokeslam. And then he disappears all the bodies from the ring. That's what I loved. Is like, let's use the Taker magic and just clear the ring of all the detritus, and leave just Cody and Roman
and Seth.
Seth was on the floor at this point. That he had gotten him out of the ring. He wasn't in the ring.
Okay. I thought Seth was. I couldn't see it too well. Okay, so yeah, then Roman hits Seth with a chair. Cody finally hits the WWE 2K24 super finisher of the crossroads.
The three crossroads. Pins Roman. I thought we were going to get one more kick out and go for a little bit, but no, after all that and the triple crossroads, Cody gets the 1, 2, 3.
Huge pop.
Huge pop. And can I just say, you know who was MVP for me this whole entire weekend for both night one and night two of WrestleMania?
Archer.
Samantha Irvin.
William Regal.
Well, yes to all of that.
Doink the Clown.
Doink the Clown. But no, oh, and all...
More realistic. Repo.
In all
My bad. Hurricane Helms.
There you
in
go.
All seriousness, I got to give props because I feel that ring announcers don't get a lot of shine and talk a lot on these podcasts. But Samantha Irvin is one of my favorites because she is she is us. She is a fan of professional wrestling.
She purposely doesn't want to know the results of matches so she can announce it, which is great. Also, Bruce Buffer even was like, she did a fantastic fucking job. But she was like, what's going on?
Samantha Irvin trying not to cry when she said the thing. Like, and then seeing the video of her getting choked up later that night made me love her even more. But Cody is your new WWE Undisputed Universal Champion. We still need to work out that name, but
it's the WWE Championship. It's the best way to describe it.
It has
Cody, the lineage of that belt.
After a long 2-year journey, has finally finished his story and won the title.
All the baby faces came out.
The whole Avengers squad came out.
Plus
Randy Orton.
CM Punk was out there too.
Yeah.
Yep, he was. So was the LA Knight.
I really love the moment as all the baby faces were making their way out of the ring, you know, for Cody to get the solo thing, him and Seth having that moment. I'm just like, Seth to me has come around because at first I didn't like him when he first debuted on the roster and then hearing the stuff about his rubbing the wrong way a certain talent backstage. But he has come a very long way and Seth has become one of my favorites both in the ring and just a good person outside of the ring too. Though sometimes he can word his opinions a little bit better, but you can tell that this man was genuinely happy for Cody. And that man did a lot over the last two nights and putting a lot of people over too. So I am super happy that Cody finished his story. It rectified the emotional weight that those of us were at live at WrestleMania 39 last year felt after the main event of night two ended. To me, this is what professional wrestling is about. Did I wanted more extremeness to a Bloodline rules match? Absolutely. But as a wrestling fan and, you know, with the emotional weight behind it, I'm so happy to see Cody finally get his ending to this story that has been going on for the last 2 years that we've been doing this.
Roman finally broke his silence after he posted, I think, earlier today. He said, yesterday we mourn, today is day one. And it like was him walking on a treadmill. So it looks like Roman could be doing a little bit more just after an extended break because he fucking needs one.
Because he's earned it. I mean, come on.
Roman has earned it.
He explained during the night one press conference, he's still taking oral chemotherapy.
Oh, yeah. He's going to have to take the rest of his life.
Yeah. So he's still dealing with repercussions of his leukemia and everything. So he definitely needs him, Seth. So people need some extended time to get their bodies and everything ready to go.
But it was a great crescendo to it, a great ending for there. Seeing Cody up on the ropes there, looking up the heaters and just saying hi to his dad, and they'd done it, and it was a very emotional moment for a lot of folks. You know, then bringing down it was ruined a little bit by bringing down one of two people to thank for this thing when he brought you know Bruce Pritchard down.
Yeah, I could have done without that,
but. Triple H getting the hug as well, which is great. You know, all those people being involved. I love Sammy having to turn him around to see where his mom was.
That was funny.
That was hilarious.
I love like the little things in the background, like how it was Sammy and KO had to pick Seth up and put him in the ring. John Cena having to point everybody out that CM Punk was coming down. John Cena's just being a happy little kid in the background. There was so much going on. There was so much going on that was just like. It was just like, this is like officially now a start of a whole new, everybody said this entire time, it's a whole new fucking era for WWE wrestling, and it's starting off real, real hot.
Yep. I compare wrestling to television shows. WrestleMania is like the season finale for a bunch of storylines. And I feel, even though I had my nitpicks and my critiques of both nights in certain spots, I'm really hoping that, you know, we've wrapped up a bunch of these stories and now we can start some new ones heading into the summer because WWE is going international, y'all, with a lot of this. We have Backlash coming up in a couple of weeks from France. We have Money in the Bank coming from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. So that's going to be a lot of fun. We have SummerSlam coming from Ohio. And then a couple weeks later, at the end of August, they will be in Germany for Bash at Berlin. So we're getting international. We have a lot of new champions going into all of this. Like, I'm excited.
And Mikey, I mean, I agree with you on that one. It's a season ender, but also it really felt like a series ender in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Finally, are moving away from the Vincenzo Macaroni series, and we are starting the new
what it's going to be.
Yeah. In a way. So there's a lot of house cleaning that was done in this WrestleMania. A lot, both nights changed a lot of things for the better. Got rid of those tail ends of somebody that was still part of it, and now that it's time to start over and start new feuds, and let's get on a roll and see what happens.
Absolutely. And thus, boys, that brings us to the end of our night two review for WrestleMania. We did it. So let's go ahead and do our final thing, which is here at DC WrestlePod. We rate using the empanada scale. So out of 10 empanadas, what would you rate night two overall?
Is there an order you'd like us to go in?
I will go first.
Okay.
So looking at night two as a self-contained thing and trying to not bring in night one into all this for some of it, which is kind of hard because the main event for night one technically played a part in the main event for night two. But as a standalone night for WrestleMania, I am going to give night two a solid 8 out of 10 for me. I thought this was the more enjoyable night of the two. I still enjoyed parts of night one, but I think that when I think of WrestleMania, you're looking for pizzazz and spectacle and just everyone giving it their all. And I felt that all the matches that we got on night two, really everybody gave it everything they got. Whether we liked certain matches or not, I think the talent involved went out there and gave us a show, which was fantastic. Obviously, I love Cody got his ending, but my match of the night, or the one that made me smile the most, was Io versus Bayley. I think that was a phenomenal match. Those women went out there as the only women's match of night two, might I add. And those, Io and Bayley, blew it out of the water. But I also really love that Cody finished his story, and then all the matches leading to those two matches were really fun and fantastic as well. I give this a solid 8 out of 10. This was an enjoyable experience, and it was even made more enjoyable by having some of my closest friends be able to watch it with me live. So it was a lot of fun, and I think that also adds to my score of 8 out of 10. I got to watch it with some of my closest friends, which was super fantastic. I enjoyed it. Final rating for night 2 of WrestleMania 40, 8 out of 10 from El Jefe. And now we're going to popcorn this. I'm going to go over to Jesse. Jesse, what do you rate for night 2?
I gave this one a 3 out of 10. No, actually, this is a surprisingly high score for me. This one was a 7.5 out of 10 for me. I thought some of the matches could have delivered a little better. There was one match in particular that the outcome made me very unhappy. So I know that's skewing my score a bit. But overall, as WrestleManias go, I was incredibly happy with this one. I echo your statement in the fact that I got to watch this with a bunch of really good friends of mine. And that added to the enjoyment of it as well. You know, as it goes for, especially for night two, as they've done for the past 4 or 5 years or so, there's a great man who said that wrestling is not a love story. It is a fairy tale for masochists. Regardless, I loved this night. I thought this was probably one of the best night twos that they've had.
Thank you, Jesse. I loved your input and all this. And yeah, man, it was so much fun watching it with all of you. But Minnie, we're going to come to you next. So night two, as our resident, you and me are the WWE crew along with the professor. We watch the product on a weekly basis. We've had our ups and downs with Raw and SmackDown. But, sir, what do you give night two of WrestleMania 40?
It's to me, this as a whole, this WrestleMania was fantastic, minus the Jimmy J match. This is another 10 for me purely because of how it ended. It ended... The big storyline, and it finally ended all the bullshit that we've had to put up with for the past 10 something years since, you know, Mr. Macaroni and whatever his fucking name is, you don't talk about anymore, has been fallen downhill with whatever his old timers are fucked that he has. It's finally starting to pick back up, and it's finally starting to become wrestling that we're happy to come in and watch every week now. Not something that we're like, man, I have to watch another one of these episodes. It's like, hey, I want to watch wrestling again, and I'm happy this has set everything up to be that way.
I love it. And then finally, to close this out, JBL, as our resident spicy boy. I'm just kidding.
It's not a spicy thing. It's not a spicy take. I'm going to rate the show that I watched this weekend, and I'm going to give it the rating it deserves. So for ROH Supercard of Honor, I am rating it. Oh, right. We watched more. No.
We're on Stand and Deliver now.
Moving on in the weekend. No, WrestleMania Night 2. Things have been said. We've gotten our pieces here and there. It wasn't a perfect night. It wasn't a perfect WrestleMania, but it was definitely better on average than most have been. I can probably go as high as probably a 7.5 to an 8, so I'll go an 8 on this one. There were things they could have done better. WWE cannot figure out when they put down a thing like Bloodline Rules or Tribal Rules match. They never can deliver on it. So if you're going to come up with a new stipulation, try to actually work out the rules of it before you actually say it's going to happen. But other than that...
How do you do that?
I know. Nostalgia was hit in a lot of different ways. We had a great match between Bayley and Io. We had some fun spots here and there. I didn't realize AJ Styles had become a caveman. It was very fun for that. It's in general just a spectacle as it's supposed to be. And I hope this leads to better storytelling and more fun things in the future. Will I watch more of the product? Probably not. I'm going to stick with my AEW at this point just because I watch it. But hey, I was entertained.
Yeah, which I appreciate because Jesse and JVL aren't necessarily, they don't usually watch WWE, but they
not for the podcast. We watch it together for on the pay-per-views.
Yeah, for sure. Just for the enjoyment. And they were nice enough to sign up for one of the nights to review because everyone
sign up, voluntold.
Hey, but you know what? You know, since this is the last review, really quickly. Hey, listen. before we sign off for the evening, I would like to take the time on air to thank all of my hosts that, you know, did the WrestleMania weekend with me, from Supercard of Honor for Ring of Honor to Stand and Deliver in NXT and then Night 1 and Night 2 WWE WrestleMania. I do a lot. I was going nuts this weekend, making sure everyone was settled and everyone got what they needed from me. But honestly, this was a true privilege to be able to do with my hosts, who have become some of my really close friends and have become a secondary family for me. So this was fantastic to do. And I look forward to what the rest of 2024 looks like for us. I'm super excited to have everyone here. So for my boys that are here and are in the chat, like Andrew here.
Okay, let's go also, everyone out here, give a big round of applause to Mikey for putting this all on, keeping it straight, getting us a month and a half ahead of time, all of our schedules to make sure that all of us were going to be here, including Adolfo, who couldn't be here because he had gone out of town, and just keeping this chaos train rolling. We wouldn't be here without you, Mikey, ever. So please take your flowers. You deserve them.
I thank you. I take the flowers and it's much appreciated. I can't do this without you guys. And we make one heck of a crew. So we're going to sign off for the evening. But thank you so much for tuning into the Night 2 review for WrestleMania 40. And we won't be gone long from Grapple Gurus because we will be back in 2 weeks with a double header. The takedown troop of Will, Andrew, and myself will be covering TNA Rebellion, which is their next Big Four pay-per-view. And the AEW boys will be taking on AEW Dynasty as well. So from myself, JVL, Jesse, Minnie, and all of the BC WrestlePod boys over the course of this weekend, remember, take care of yourself, love one another, stay iconic, and like Cody Rhodes, you deserve to finish your story, whatever that looks like to you. We'll see you for the next one. But until then, ta-ta for now.
Thank you so much for tuning into another Vibe Tribe production. What's going to happen next time? Well, you're going to have to tune in to find out. But until then, remember, take care of yourself, love one another, and as always, make sure that you keep the good times rolling. Thank you for being here, and we'll see you next time.